Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. Real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
Welcome to Star Talk. I'm your host, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, and we are here live at Comic-Con San Diego 2012. And I've got Chris Hardwick.
Hello.
The Nerdist.
Yes, sir.
The one and only.
Yes, sir.
And of course, the one, the only, the inimitable Gary Delabatte.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
This is your first Comic-Con, too.
It is my first Comic-Con.
Me too. I'm a Comic-Con virgin.
How is it so far?
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the love.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the craziness.
There's a lot of love out there for Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And you know, we were out there in the street and like stormtroopers walk by and Klingons walk by and you don't even look twice.
Yeah.
Where else can you not look twice?
I know.
At creatures, you know?
And it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
I'm sure people are coming up to you going, that's a really good Neil deGrasse Tyson cosplay. Like, no, I really.
That's what I tell them. This is my Tyson outfit.
Somebody interviewed me last night and I said, what's the weirdest thing you saw at Comic-Con? And I go, nothing's weird. There's nothing weird here.
No. Everything's normal.
That's right.
Right.
I'm the weird guy. It's a safe zone. It's a safe zone, yeah.
Now, I got you on Star Talk because I have good information that tells me that you're like tech gadget geeky dude.
I'm an enthusiast. I love the tech stuff. Love the gadgets.
You own everything.
I have a lot of stuff. I mean, you can't own everything, but I write a column for a magazine, so I do get enough stuff.
You got to stay on top of it.
And I get to test stuff out, and it's great because I
and
say.
And you write a column, that means they send you the stuff for free.
But you got to send it back.
Okay.
That's the thing with gadgets. When you're working with gadgets, they send it to you for a minute.
Right.
And some companies are like, you'll get calls. When are we going to get our thing back?
Well, you know they're serious when they give you the bubble wrap and the sticker to send it back.
Yeah.
The return of the envelope.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your favorite gadget right now?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I'm a big fan of Sonos. You know what Sonos
no.
is?
Yeah, the system.
S-O-N-O-S.
Sonos.
So many people want to do all room audio in their home,
yeah.
But they don't want to be chipping away at walls. So this is a way to do all room audio through a wireless system. And they've really perfected. They've been around.
So now your surrounding neighbors can't hide from you.
Yes.
Because every room is vibrating.
Apple has a version of it called AirPlay where you can get music from your device onto other devices in your home. But Sonos, they bridged all of that.
And Sonos has done a better job because they partnered with SiriusXM, Rhapsody, Napster. Yeah. They partner with all these
companies. So whatever device you have that makes noise, it can now be in every room of your house.
Well, you buy a Sonos and you hook it to a pair of speakers. And through your computer or through Wi-Fi, you can feed it what's on your computer, also your library of music. But they've really done a great job of keeping going with it because they started like 3 or 4 years ago. So there's a docking station for your iPad. Uh-huh. So if somebody comes over, say, hey, put your iPod in, let's listen to what you're playing tonight. And you can send music out to your back patio. Well, I'm not running wires from the basement. Now you don't have to.
Okay, so that's a gadget that just improves on our previous capacity to want to just share music. Give me a gadget that I didn't know I needed. I didn't even know.
There's a sonic screwdriver that someone has just released that is actually a remote control. And using a series of hand gestures, it will control your iPad or devices. And it's, from Doctor Who fans in particular, it's like having a sonic screwdriver.
Because it does stuff.
Yeah, you point it at stuff and it controls.
And you jiggle it.
Yeah.
So did you get one of those?
I did not get one of those.
Yeah.
What do I have you for?
I'm the guy that will try to help you get one of those.
But I mean, you know, when you say what's a gadget you didn't know you needed, that's the great thing is you don't need any of them. They're just awesome to have.
No, but then when you have them, you can't imagine life without it. Like yeah. The remote control. I'm old enough, maybe you're old enough.
No, I am.
Remember, you actually had to get out of the couch and walk to the TV to change the channel.
No, you just watched one channel all day because it was easier. You didn't
get
up.
Out of the couch. Yeah.
I went to a place last week. It was like an antique place where they have like old Coke machines and old jukeboxes that had old TVs. Do you know what a predictive TV is? Here's in science fiction, which has got sort of that, that funky front on it. It's sort of like on an angle. And I didn't even know this because I sort of collected.
Is that a mod TV in its day?
In its day.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they did is there was the TV, the head, right? And then the main box came with this 50-foot ridiculous-looking cable. And what you would do is you would take the box with you so you could change the channel from the box.
Oh, yeah. And they probably were like, oh, my gosh, we're living in the future.
Right. It's technically a remote control. Yeah.
In some ways.
I'm really interested in, they're making a lot of advancement in, like, inductive charging. It's really just the move to wireless everything. So I see a lot of this untethering ourselves from our devices.
So I wanted to pose the question, then what of the title Wired Magazine?
Oh, no!
Oh, I'm saying
it! Then it becomes retro.
Because that is retro. Yeah. Now we're past wired.
Well, it is.
I was at the Consumer Electronics Show last year. There's a company that's working on that. So they had a demo area. So they had a kitchen island, right?
Yeah.
And in the bottom of your kitchen aid is this magnetic thing that just gets its power. So you don't plug it in anywhere. So you can move it all over the kitchen. But the thing that got me is because they make it in drywall now. So when you put your drywall up, you can put these lights on. Right?
Yeah.
That just are magnets that go on the wall and they're getting electricity from what's in the drywall. So for me, the way I say it is like, okay, I got a 50-inch TV, now I got a 100-inch TV. You know what I mean? You can just move the lights on.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
So all of these are things for the consumer home electronics marketplace.
Right.
There's got to be some gadgets that are outdoor gadgets or stuff that's not just for the home.
Well, there's an outdoor TV, which I love that you can put on your patio, that's waterproof.
I'm trying to think. Waterproof? Are you out? Watching TV in a rainstorm? What?
You could be.
What do you need a waterproof TV
But that's
for?
The whole point, because it's out there all the time.
Oh, okay. It's like underwater other stuff that I would never need to be doing underwater.
I got an underwater camera, and I went scuba diving with my kids, and it was awesome. I took great movies and great pictures, and then I put it away for 364 days.
Right, that's how that works.
It was awesome when I needed it.
Getting back to your sonic screwdriver,
yes.
Do you have one that actually can unlock a safe?
Not yet.
That's the good one.
Someday.
So I could go up to the cash machine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
This is the real needs.
Well, you really could, like, you know, especially with a lot of advancements in NFC, the near field communication, where you basically just need something on you that activates.
So near field communication would be like Bluetooth.
Well, it's a form of near field communication, but not the near field communication that like Apple was rumored to have put in their iPhones. That you could just walk through a store and not even need a cashier. They would take everything you bought.
It's sort of like an easy pass, but how does it know? How does it know that you're buying something?
Everything would have a chip in it of some type that would emit a signal. And then, you know, if you remove something, it would be...
So there's like smart chips.
Yeah.
But I guess there's no more shoplifting because you pick something up and you have that. As soon as you walk out the door, it registers.
Yeah, just make shoplifting way less fun.
Well, unless you don't have one of those phones.
Unless you don't have those phones, yeah.
So what does this cost? If they just send it to you, you don't have no clue what it would set you back.
No, they tell you what it costs. I mean, they give you the price and everything. One of the things about the gadgets that I love is... there's a thing called unboxing. And unboxing is when you get it, there's this moment like, okay, I got my...
You're a little kid.
So the day the iPad comes out.
The smell of a new Apple product to me is the best smell.
And so
in the
I'm
world.
Going to slowly... I'm going to take the plastic off. I'm going to slowly take the box off. I'm going to take all the pieces
and put
them
aside. And there's pleasure and it's a striptease.
It really is.
Apple Store is my like Bath & Body Works. Where people go in, they're like, oh, smell all these fragrance. Like, just smelling new electronics to me is the greatest thing
There's
in the world.
There's a big excitement.
When we come back to Star Talk, we will get more into the psychology of unwrapping.
Unboxing.
tech gadgets. We'll be back in a moment. welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Joining me over the break is the bad astronomer himself, Phil Plait, longtime friend and colleague. Woo-hoo! Love this man.
I don't know.
We'll just watch.
Phil, meet Gary.
Howdy.
Nice to meet you, Phil.
Tech dude extraordinaire, and of course, the Nerdist himself.
Y5.
You look familiar. Y5.
Y5. I like
Y5. Yeah, you can't touch it.
Y5. Y5. Before we left for the break, Gary was telling us, because he gets tech gadgets to write about, which is very cool. He doesn't have to buy them. They show up on his doorstep. And he was talking about the emotional high he gets in the striptease of removing the gadget from the box.
Well, it's called unboxing. And when you get, if it's something you wanted for a long time or something you've been waiting for
it's an actual psychological term.
Yeah, I mean, video gamers have it too, by the way. Video gamers, like the actual unboxing of the video game, is very ritualistic for a lot of people. The same with gadgets.
And I got to tell you, with a gadget, there really is something to be said for how it's packaged. And Apple really has it down to a science. You take it out of the wrapper.
Apple doesn't have it down to a science. They have raised it to an art.
They really have.
Well done.
Well played. It's something you've either been waiting a long time for to come out, or something you've waited and saved a lot of money to get.
So the anticipation adds to the moment.
It's Christmas. When you get an item that you want, or a gadget that you want, it's Christmas morning. It really is that feeling.
Every time you open it.
Absolutely.
So what else you got? What else have you been coming your way?
Well, you know, it's funny. I haven't been able to try this out yet because they're really not sending many of them out. But I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in January.
Where was that?
In Vegas.
Vegas? And, it's there every year, right?
It's there every year, yeah.
And they have this thing. It's called, have you heard of a camera called Lytro?
No.
It's
Lytro?
L-Y-T-R-O. It's a light field camera. Now, I don't understand exactly how it works, but it's supposedly taking light from everywhere. And I know that it's a little, it doesn't look like a regular camera. It looks like a square kaleidoscope, right? And you look through it, you take the picture, and no matter what the picture looks like, you can always put it in focus because it's gathering light from all different areas.
Do you know about this?
I thought it was a joke when it came out.
It's not.
And what you do is you take a picture.
So what's the optics of it?
I don't know.
Well, why am I turning to you?
This is what's killing me.
This way.
It's what's killing me because I think about it, it's like, how would you do this? You take a picture and it maps every photon that comes in. And then after the fact, you can change the focus. So you've got this data cube, I guess, and you can say, where do I want it focused? At 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet? And you can do that after the fact.
So if somebody were taking a picture of us, right, we were all in focus, and the background was out of focus, that's probably what we want. But if for whatever reason, we wanted the back to be in focus as well, we can change that. And if for whatever crazy reason, we want to be out of focus, and we want the back only in focus, we can change that after the fact.
So what that means is everything is in focus to begin with, and it's defocusing what you don't want. It's got to be. Because it can't start out of focus
data
and then get focused.
But that's what they're saying, it does start out of focus.
I'm asserting, I don't believe that. I think it has to take everything in as a focused cube, as he said.
But how do you, there is no camera that can focus on everything.
Well, there is. You know what that is?
What?
It's a pinhole camera. A pinhole camera has infinite depth of field, a pinhole camera. Everything is in focus. The problem is the pinhole is so small, you need flooded lights to get everything there. And so it becomes a challenge. Otherwise, everything would be a pinhole camera.
Well, I've not been able to get my hands on this camera to try.
Right.
Because it's so, and that sometimes, you know,
That's the future of cameras.
Yeah, but that makes me a little nervous because they announced it in January. If I'm not seeing it, I always wonder. Sometimes they come out with these big
vaporware.
What's that?
Vaporware. Yeah, vaporware is basically when a company or someone talks about something that's coming out, but then it's like vapor. It never solidifies.
They never got it to match what they said.
It just doesn't work, and then it never comes out, and you hear about it for years. It happens at CES all the time.
Right, because what I think what happens is some of these people show up to CES with these grand ideas, a prototype, and then what they're hoping is someone will see it and go, I want to invest money in that.
Yeah, okay.
That's the game.
Okay.
So right. I don't know, but it's called Lytro, and I want to try it.
And this is why I haven't been able to figure out how it works. Maybe there's information on the web, but when it was first announced, I went online and I was thinking, how would you do that? Something like what you're saying. You're creating, you know, you're creating this map of where all the lights come in.
There's a series of planes of detectors.
And you focus on each one.
And then you choose what combination of those planes are.
And there are problems with light coming in from different angles, and it's really interesting. And maybe by now somebody's put up an explanation of this, but at the time when it was announced, I did not know.
Okay, I'm very disappointed in you. I just want to say.
I just want a Photoshop filter. You know, it's like, if you know, in Photoshop, you can go in, if an area is dark, the information's still there, so you can go in and lighten it up.
Yeah.
I would just, it'd be great if there was just a focus filter.
In one way, there is. And that is, if you know what a point source looks like. In other words, I have a point of light.
Sure.
And it gets defocused somehow by a telescope or a camera or whatever. But you know it's a point of light. And it's like, well, it starts a point of light, but later on it's blurred. If you could collect that light back into a point, it's like you're focusing it after the fact.
But how would you collect that light back into a point?
It's really
take the,
hard.
You have to take all that light off of the detector itself and then put it back in the point that you know was started out as a point.
Magic!
It's called deconvolution, and we had to do that when Hubble was first built because Hubble was out of focus.
Yeah.
And I spent two years doing that.
It was deconvoluted for 2 years.
Are you going dot by dot and defocusing each?
Yes.
Essentially. Pixel by pixel.
Oh, that is amazing.
You're removing the light from each pixel and putting it back in the point.
That is the scientific version of like going in and cleaning up old art, where you're just kind of going in.
The problem with that, if you have a crack, you can kind of just say, well, it was brown on this side and brown on this side. I can just make that gap.
Or light brown and dark brown and sort of interpolate across the gap. Yeah.
The problem here is that if I'm taking light from one part and putting it into another, because it started here and defocused over here. But if there was something here, I'm taking light away from that and putting it over here. But now there's light over here I have to put back over into here. And it's what's called nonlinear. You have to do everything all at once. And it's very complicated. There are issues with it mathematically. It makes it really hard to do.
Does complicated mean it also takes a lot of time, or is it just the notion is complicated?
It's computationally intensive, but now with Moore's Law just handing us computational capacity, I don't see why that can't just happen like on the fly.
I used to run programs overnight that 3 years later I was doing over like a snack break.
Isn't Moore's Law slowing down? I mean, I don't see processors really getting that much faster than they were.
Actually, they've been cheating because now it's all done in parallel.
Right.
Right? So I want to be twice as fast, get twice as many processors.
Quad-core, 8-core.
But you have to program it in a way that all the processors can share the calculation.
Sure.
Right? If you have to wait for one to finish after another, four processors don't help you.
I mean,
the programmers have to know in advance how to distribute what is being calculated.
I mean, have we achieved all we can achieve with current technology? I mean, do you know anything about quantum computing or?
I'm waiting for that. Quantum computing.
Yeah.
A little overdue, I think.
Yeah. I remember the video game Qubit, but not.
Did you say Qubit?
Qubit. I know.
Oh, Qubit. You said Qubit.
So what else you got?
That's what programming is going to do. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me look up. I do have a list.
There's a crib sheet.
I do. Hold on. I have a list
on
here.
On your pocket computer that you can carry around with you.
So Kingston is a company that makes, you know, thumbnail drives and memory and all that. So they just came out with an item. I'm literally testing it out on this trip. So it's 160 gigabyte Bluetooth little memory drive. So what do I need that for? So I've got my iPad. It's now filled with everything.
Yeah.
It's overloaded with movies. It's overloaded with music. I've been on the road for a week now.
And you can't put it back on your desktop, right? You get where your big discs are.
Well, what happens is whatever's on your iPad, it's full. You can't put any more stuff on it, and you can't delete movies while you're on the road or anything. Even if you do, you don't have any more room to put it on. So for instance, I have this little hard drive, and I put like the entire second and third season of Breaking Bad, because I'm catching up on it, on there. Am I going to get to it? I don't know. Well, it turns out I am getting to it. So without hooking it into the computer, because you can't hook it to an iPad, I turn it on, Bluetooth, and now I have access to a secondary hard drive. Which is
little.
It's like sort of a credit card.
160 gigs.
Yeah. And what's great about that is it's not only good for movies and stuff like that, but it's also good if you're on the road, if you're doing a PowerPoint presentation, and you want everybody can Bluetooth into you. You can, you know, put it on the desk in front of you. So I like that gadget a lot.
Does the Bluetooth have a USB port to go in?
Well, the iPad doesn't have.
No, that's my point. It's got a USB port. It's got a FireWire to USB for putting it into your computer.
But that's where
the data started.
Right. So
that's
in other words, I USB it into my computer to put the data on it.
Yeah.
But now I can Bluetooth it to any device.
How fast is it?
It's pretty fast.
So it'll be Bluetooth fast. So
when I was packing for this trip, I'm thinking, well, I got my video camera, I got my still camera, but I don't want to bring my laptop. But if I'm taking a video, if I'm going to interview somebody like, say, Nerdist star Chris Hardwick, right? Now I've got it on my flip camera. What am I going to do with this? I've got my iPad.
Right.
You're saying I could take my flip, plug it into this Bluetooth, get it there, and then
I don't know if it's got to be.
It might need a file system to feed it.
Right.
Yeah. If they had that, I'd be golden because the iPad only has that stupid connection.
Well, when we come back to Star Talk, more with Gary the Gadget Man. Talking about his stuff. You haven't. You, you just begun to tell us?
I got more shots.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
We're back on Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Gary Delamonte.
Delabate. Del Monte. I got it all when I was a kid, don't worry.
Baba Booey's easy.
Baba Booey. The one and the only Baba Booey. I got him right here. We're talking about tech gadgets. I got the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick. My colleague and friend, the bad astronomer. Welcome to Star Talk. Not your first time. So we were going down this list of these gadgets you get that you write about. And where does it appear? Where's your...
I write a column in Sound and Vision Magazine.
Sound and Vision Magazine.
I go under the name Gadget Gary.
Yeah, all right, Gadget Gary. What else you got for us?
Okay, so now they make a Bluetooth camera that looks like a little bullet, and it goes over your ear, okay? So there's a couple of things that you can do with it. You're like, why do I need that?
It's so I can be locutus aboard. Hello. Well,
I do have to say it's a little weird looking, and you would be the weird guy at your kid's recital with it on. But there's a couple of uses for it. First of all, you can Bluetooth it right through your phone and write to anybody. So if grandma's sitting at home in Milwaukee and your daughter's doing a recital, you can have this camera going through your phone, Bluetoothing live into your phone, and going right so that grandma...
That doesn't say why it has to be stuck in your ear.
Well, that's one of the things they had, because the feeling was they wanted it to be small, they wanted it to be portable, and they wanted it to be your point of view. So the premise is,
wherever you're looking,
if it's on your ear, it's wherever you're looking.
Well, sort of like, that's very similar to the, you know, Sergey Brin at Google, is they're developing the glass.
The goggles, Google goggles.
Yeah, which I spoke at Google and he was there, and it's weird, he looks at you with the glasses on and they just look like little sport glasses, but you see a little flickering light in the middle and you feel like you're being...
Targeted.
Yeah, well, just like you don't know what information he's seeing. It's gathering and telling him all this
Google stuff
about you.
Did you see the thing that they did where they jumped out of the plane?
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy. They did a thing where they wore the goggles, and there were guys in a plane over where they were. They were talking about what they were going to do. They jumped out of the plane. They landed on the roof where the event was, and then they got on bicycles, and they rode into the event. And everybody could see the whole thing via these glasses being transmitted. It was very cool.
So point of view is interesting, right?
Yeah, but the other interesting thing about it that I love is it's constantly recording. Almost like a TiVo, so it's going 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, or maybe it's like a 2-minute buffer. So if you have this thing on all day and something really cool happens, because you don't know what's cool.
You don't know right when what you decided was cool, it's too late to catch it from the beginning.
Or if you saw it and you go, oh my God, I want to take a picture of that, and it's way too late, you hit the button on top and it immediately
saves. So it's got a 2-minute buffer, right?
The previous 30 seconds. So, like, I was at an event last night where I saw this guy holding up a sword to this electron thing and it was like blowing sparks out, and I went to get my camera and I missed it. If I was walking around with this very goofy ear thing on, I would have pushed the button and I would have saved the file.
All right, what else you got?
There's a lot of stuff going on with Bluetooth speakers. So I talked about Sonos, but even if you don't want to go that route, you want to go a smaller route, the people that make Jawbone, who are the guys that make
Jambox.
Jambox. Jawbone is the company. Jambox, it's about this big. They just made a bigger one. So what it is it's a speaker with...
Bigger isn't always better in this business.
But it's got really, really good sound, like shockingly good sound. Like you're looking at...
Well, the little Jambox had great sound.
It does.
And it's kind of rubbery, so you can drop it.
So this one's got a few...
Rubbery?
It is. No, it is. It's got like a...
So you can drop...
Well, it doesn't bounce.
But just don't drop it. I mean...
Well, that's the other approach.
Okay. So, again, like I built a house, I wired it to the hilt, and I forgot to wire the porch. It just didn't dawn on me that I'd want to sit on the porch and listen to music. So, again, I could go drilling and putting wires in and putting speakers in, or bring the Jambox out. I take my iPhone. I usually do either Sonos over that, or I can do SiriusXM. So sit on the porch and I will stream it to the Bluetooth speaker, and it's got great sound, and it's a great way to get that sound without tearing your house apart.
All right, so now, are there any gadgets that put you into a profound state of silence?
You mean I'm so blown away by them?
No.
Cone of silence, I think, is where we're going.
Yeah. Everything you've described is to distribute sound and music. Is there anything that creates a meditative state?
No, I don't want that.
Okay.
I want the ultimate visual or audio experience. That's what I'm about.
That's a cool idea, though, particularly thinking about we're at Comic-Con right now. So not just noise-canceling headphones, but is there any kind of a device that creates a feel that cancels out?
There is. Deadening force field.
Yeah, what is it?
Michael Jackson had one. What was that tank?
It was the hyperbaric chamber.
It was the one that William Hurt gets in and comes out an alien in that movie. You know the movie I'm talking about?
Yeah, where he goes into suspended animation.
Yes. But see, that would make me very claustrophobic. I would be freaked out by that. Could you get one of those? Could you close the lid?
Like the deprivation chambers.
Yeah.
Complete darkness, complete silence.
I couldn't handle that.
I could not do that.
I go
crazy. It would just kind of cool if that were just an area you could walk into in your room. Something, for example, the baby's crying, there's traffic noise, there's whatever. Just walk into the zone, total silence.
I think they call that the wife chamber.
Have you ever been in one like that? For example, at NASA, when they test satellites, they do all these different shake and bake tests where they'll heat it and they'll shake it and everything. What they'll do is they'll also put them into these rooms, which completely deaden sound. And they can do all kinds of tests.
Chamber.
And that's an anechoic chamber. And they have those weird triangle foamy things coming in.
In fact, it's what set the standard for the foam wall insulation in sound studio
acoustics. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
But when you go into one of these highfalutin ones and you stick your head in between these cones, sound is gone.
Yes,
and it is freaky.
All of a sudden, you start
it's
hearing
really weird.
Blood course past your eardrum.
I wouldn't like that.
It's really distressing.
But I guess they
probably get used to it.
But I guess they do it because you don't want to send a guy up to find out he's claustrophobic.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're going to lock you in.
Probably they test for that before they're like, you're an astronaut.
That's what
it
is.
Yeah, I've been in one at Bell Labs out in Jersey, and it's the quietest place on earth in the Guinness book for just this reason. We are live at Comic-Con 2012 San Diego. We're talking about gadgets, past, present, and future. See you in a moment. Back at Star Talk, live from San Diego Comic-Con 2012. Got the bad astronomer, I got Gary the Gadget Man, and I got the Nerdist. So you're going down your list of gadgets, so you got a couple more for me?
Yeah, I got one. This is, you know, a lot of the gadgets are about, you know, making me feel better.
Someone pays you to test their gadgets and write about it?
Yeah.
Hey.
And you're okay with that?
I would be doing it for free, so sure.
Okay, so what do you got?
But there's things that are practical, too. So I'm very big on backing up the computer because I have so much music, I have so much video now, I have so much audio, and so many important files. So I have a RAID drive system, and I use this company called Drobo, and it's for...
RAID.
Yeah.
RAID is acronym for...
Really awesome interface device. Thank you very much.
Good honesty.
I'm here all day.
Very good. I knew it was good for that. Go.
But it's a backup system. So what you do is I put in 4 1-terabyte drives. If one of those drives dies, the other 3 pick up the slack. So theoretically, you could never lose any of your stuff.
So it's redundant.
It's redundant.
Yes.
However, as great as that is, I still, this is how nutty I am. I still have a drive that once every 4 or 5 or 6 months, I back it up, right? A regular drive, not a RAID drive, I back it up, and I take it to my bank, and I put it in the safety deposit box.
And your bank is in Cheyenne Mountain.
No, but the point is, here's the
Colorado.
One thing, here's the one thing a
with NORAD.
Here's the one thing a RAID drive won't save you from: a fire.
Right, because so, that drive gets lost.
Well, there was one company I looked at that had a RAID drive that it survives a fire. You could throw it in a fire. So I thought I almost lost a lot of my photographs once, and it is the most horrible feeling in the world. I ended up getting an expert. He went way deep into the drive and he found that they weren't lost. So,
by the way, I'm pulling your leg, but I'm equally as manic about my backups. And there's a backup that I put 100 miles away from the other backups. So I calculated what nuclear device would take both out, and then I figured that's a large enough nuclear device that I'm not really worrying about my
So your drive to the bank
music.
Isn't so crazy anymore.
Did you account for the EMP that's going to wipe out everything?
No, the EMP I don't think would affect a non-running drive.
No, unless it creates a current that goes through the drive, it could have, you know, an induced current.
I gotta think about that.
But I do have a question for you guys. This is where I feel like I'm being really old school. Does everybody trust the cloud? Because the cloud is another way to back up. So do you trust putting your most important stuff on the cloud that's backed up in Kansas City?
I have issues with the cloud.
I use it for accessibility. I use the cloud. Like I have a Dropbox and I have access to all the files.
But would you take your most important stuff
and just rely on the cloud?
No. I see what you're getting at. People put their stuff on the cloud, and that's where it lives.
Right. Because
for me, the cloud is just is the super highway to get it from the iPad to the iPhone to the desktop. Yeah.
But you are of a certain age.
Right? I am.
I have a daughter who is in her teens and has grown up with the internet. And so for her, that's just the stuff that happens. For me, I wouldn't trust the cloud because maybe, you know, corporate interests running all of my data is not something I want.
There's two things going on.
But kids don't know that.
There's two things going on.
Right. They don't have that mentality.
And yet we go to bank, we put our money in banks, which are like financial clouds.
Yet I'm not happy. I like that.
It's a financial cloud.
It's a financial cloud.
I put it there, and where did that dollar go?
You know, it's a famous speech. Oh, yeah, your money's in Ben Billy's house and Eddie's house, you know, from Rent's a Wonderful Life.
Merry Christmas, you old Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have a Lego bank at home, you know. I keep my money under my mattress.
But there's two things in the cloud that are weird. The first is, you're exactly right. How do I know that somebody's not looking in my cloud or in my where it is? And the other thing is, so I've now got this wonderful company who stores it in this temperature-controlled room in Kansas City. What do I do when they go out of business?
Close. It's close to Colorado Springs.
Yeah. But what do I do when they go out of business?
Well, Kansas City's in the middle of the country, so that if we're invaded, you still have time to sort of get ahead of the line and save your music.
I'm not even talking about a nuclear disaster. I'm talking about a business disaster. Like, they ran the company so bad that they go out of business. So what happens
to the hard drive? Right, and they got no money to go dig it out because they're broke.
So I think Chris is onto it. You use the cloud for convenience, but I keep everything on my hard drive at home.
Me too. That's where I am.
Don't trust the cloud. Right, use it for convenience. I don't trust it.
Yeah, and also when I leave town, I take all my backup drives and I put them away, hide them just in case someone breaks in. Then my drives are protected.
Take my jewels, take my...
But don't take my data, please.
But what's your backup system for if your house catches on fire?
Then it's like, worst case scenario is the cloud right now.
The cloud.
So hopefully if my house doesn't catch on the fire at the same time as the cloud does.
We got to wind down this segment of Star Talk. So we're going to lose you.
Yes, I have to take leave of you. I'm going to doing my live Nerdist podcast at the Balboa Theater in San Diego. But
so we're
going to
lose you for the next segment?
You're going to lose me for the next segment, but it's been such an honor to be here.
But thanks for sharing your Nerdist time
please.
With us.
It's so great. This is such a fun collection of dudes.
But you got to spread your Nerdist love. I know we only get you for a piece of it.
Yeah, I got to go do my show now, but it was wonderful to guest on your show.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much for coming.
Good to see you, Gary.
All right. When we come back to Star Talk Radio, we're going to launch this into the future and find out what gadgets we always wanted to have and have yet to be invented. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. See you tomorrow.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're back. Star Talk. San Diego. Comic-Con 2012. I've got the Bad Astronomer, and I got Gary the Gadget Man, otherwise known as Baba
Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
I have to say, when they told me that I was doing a show with an astrophysicist and his astronomer's friend,
Okay. I'm both, actually.
I thought it was going to be like two nerdy guys, but you guys are very, very. Do you get that a lot? Do people expect you to be socially awkward? Because you're not.
Well, you don't see us in other settings where we.
Yeah, well, that's true.
No, I think we're, you know, yeah.
Do you think
we're socialized?
You think smart guys get a bad rap?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But not only that, in astrophysics, there's no reward for being socialized. So even if people have the capacity, it goes untrained. Right. In many circles.
Like, do you watch The Big Bang Theory?
Of course.
Okay, so
in fact, I had a cameo on The Big Bang
Theory. Did you?
Yeah.
You have to tell me when, because I never missed
it. Oh, yeah.
But so a guy like Sheldon is not that uncommon.
No. We see that all that cast of characters. Yeah. They're a bit of a caricature, but still.
It's really true, and in fact, especially with scientists, we see ourselves. You know, yeah. I think I have, not only have I known Sheldon and Raj and, you know, and how all those guys, they're me. In different situations, I've seen myself.
So, I accurately captured.
Yeah, have you ever been at a party, gotten a little drunk, and realized that you're over-explaining something to somebody who can't comprehend it?
You know, it's funny you'd say that. When I first met my wife at a party, I was in graduate school. She was an undergraduate. She was at a party. I was actually looking through some math books that were in that host's house because I was looking for something I needed for my work. And she came up to me and said, "So, what are you doing?" And I told her, epicycloids, and I went through this whole thing, and her eyes, and she was gone, okay? Married that woman, eventually.
That sounds creepy. Now he has to chase her down.
Yeah, exactly.
Caveman style.
No, this is cool.
It sounds like
this
is so cool. Before the expression stalking had been invented.
That's right. But it worked out, you know? We've been married a long time.
So we need a device that can make that happen. So how long have you been writing about gadgets?
Probably about 5 years now.
5 years. And like you said, they actually pay you to do that.
They do. Not a lot.
Okay, now what's the clumsiest, stupidest gadget you ever looked at?
Oh.
You said this is stupid.
Say the iPad.
Are you an Apple hater?
No, I think Apple is just as sucky as every other kind of computer.
So no computers?
I'll pull him in a minute.
I have a PC with an iPad. I have an iPhone and a...
You have a PC? You know,
yeah, I had a Mac for a long time and it died. I got a PC because it was a lot cheaper.
What do you use that in your DeLorean?
I'm really wishing I had gotten an iMac. I know. Okay. I'll get a Mac again, but you know.
Are you one of those people who thinks like Mac is taking over the world and you just don't want to be like everyone's lemmings?
No. I take things as they come. I make my decisions based on what's going on. There are things I like about the iPad and things I think are really dumb. But,
that's why, you know, in a minute we're going to talk to her about future gadgets, not current gadgets.
Don't ask me questions. I'll start talking.
What's your suckiest gadget that you know?
Oh, gosh. There's some of them are just so stupid. There was one, when I was at CES, there was one that was supposed to be like a... it looked like Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah?
And it was like a...
What's her name, Rosie?
Rosie the Robot.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
There's somebody cosplaying as her.
Oh, but she had a little apron.
Yeah. But it was like a mini version of her. And it was supposed to help you lose weight. And you're supposed to go talk to it every morning and... tell it what you ate, and it was going to tell you calories back. And it was like, I call it using your brain. Like, you know, they come up with all these different things for weight loss, and this was like a, you know, a very expensive item. It was like a mini computer, and I just thought it was so dumb, and I haven't seen it since.
So it was overkill for the need.
There's 1,000 apps on your Droid or your iPhone that will do the same thing for you with a little bit of input. It was just, you know.
Right, like Lose It, for example. I've used Lose It, right. And it just keeps track of your weight.
I prefer to lose 30 pounds on Lose It.
It reminds you what you're doing.
Right. So this was,
and it plots it.
Right, but that's all losing weight really is.
Yeah, it's all it is. Just,
so that's a $399 app versus a $500 robot.
Right. Anything that you felt was too hard to figure out? Because that's the big thing. You know, Apple, you just walk up to it and it runs itself, right?
I will tell you,
no Apple user uses an instruction manual.
Well, the story I'm about to tell you, I'm very ashamed to talk about because I'm not very handy, mechanically inclined.
Yet you just said you built your house.
No, I had somebody build it for me. You think I was out there like a Quaker?
I was about to be impressed. Okay, you had enough money to pay somebody else to build your
house. Me and the Amish were out there.
Yeah, right.
We did a barn raising. No, there's a couple of companies. One of them, Schlage Locks.
Yeah, of course. Uh-huh.
So they came up with this really cool lock that, again, works off an app via a wireless thing. So, you know, you put the door lock on, and you can key code it, and that's easy, that's pretty common. Or I could be, you know, in traffic an hour away, and my buddy calls and say, hey, I'm at your house, where are you? Oh, I'm stuck in traffic. I can hit the app and open the door for him.
Whoa. Okay.
So that's awesome.
A remote door opener.
A remote door opener, or I can remotely set codes for the cleaning lady, a delivery guy, people that you don't want to have the same code over and over again. It's great. Awesome. I've had it for 4 months. I haven't been able to test it out because I don't know how to put the doorknob in. The mechanical part of taking out a doorknob, putting it, I can't do.
Okay. Yeah, there's some this stuff you got to pull in and go.
Is
it two dimensions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Have you ever installed a doorknob?
I got an A in shop when I was a kid, guys. Okay.
And they keep calling me. They go, when are you going to review it? I'm like, I'm getting there. I'm waiting for somebody to come over who says, oh, I got a friend who's like, oh, give me that and can put it in 2 minutes.
And, you know,
we got to wind down this first half. You've been listening to Star Talk live from San Diego Comic-Con 2012. When we come back in our second hour, we're going to talk about gadgets we wish existed, gadgets we want to be invented, and we're going to talk about gadgets we've seen in the movies that we wish we had now.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.